The battle belongs to the Lord. As we continue our discussion and study on not loving the world, do not love the world. When we think about just the song we just sang, the battle belongs to the Lord, we recognize what Paul said, and turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. See, God makes a way for us, and we recognize the challenges inherent in living in this world. And as we said this morning, for the benefit of those who might not have had the opportunity to study with us this morning, the world, we're not talking about not loving humanity. We're not talking about not loving the earth upon which we live. You know, obviously there's something to be said about not being wasteful, which is good Christian living, being good stewards of our time and being, you know, using the natural and human resources to the good of the gospel. That's all good stuff. So to be clear, the world, we're talking about, you know, that which Satan influences. And the world consists of all that is in the world: the lust of the flesh, the lust, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know, immorality, materialism, accomplishments, if you will, sin. Iniquity is lawlessness. When we act like there is no judge and jury, when we act like, you know, I do what I want to do. And those are all the devices of Satan. We're created by the Almighty God. And Paul lets us know that temptation, and I love the song that Brother Nelson has selected for our invitation song, "Yield Not to Temptation." That could easily be the name of this lesson. When we recognize what's in the world and all that's in the world from the very beginning, in the book of Genesis, you know, Eve saw that the tree was good for food, flesh. It was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes, and a tree to make one wise. From the very beginning, God set up parameters. God set up boundaries. He told man, he gave man what he needed. But yet, the lust, the desire, the temptation, eyes, flesh, pride of life. The fall of man. And guess what, folks? Nothing has changed. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, let's just cut to the chase. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's go 12 and 13. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." All of us need to be mindful. I needed this lesson. I don't know about you. We need a reminder that no matter what we do, what we accomplish, let's continue to keep our feet on the ground. Let's be mindful of the various temptations that we will face in this world. Wherefore, Paul says, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Don't be full of yourself, ever. Ever. You attain something, give God the glory. Your kids attain something, give God the glory. You're struggling, give God the glory. Yes, I said that. You're struggling, give God the glory. Lord, thank you for allowing me to get through this, because I'll be a blessing to somebody else. When I provide counsel and people say, "You don't know what I'm going through." Yes, I do. "You don't know about health challenges." Yes, I do. "You never been in intensive care." Yes, I have. So give God the glory. Give God the glory. And so as we think about the word of God, verse 13, "There hath no temptation." We know this verse, but I don't know if we apply it like we should. "There hath no temptation, nothing in this world, taken you but such as is common to man." We've seen this movie before. Someone has. There's nothing that you or I are experiencing that is not common to man. And it is amazing how the devil would have you and I to think, "You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm going through." You're just right in the devil's hands. You're like his silly putty. You're the devil's silly putty. It's like, "Y'all don't know what I'm going through." Who told you that? You can't read this scripture and say that your temptation is so unique. It's the outlier. When the Bible says there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. In the basic Greek, Koine Greek, nothing that you will experience that will cause you to desire it, it's not unprecedented. Did y'all catch that? So basically, just when you think you got it bad, just get in line. But God is faithful. Look at Paul. We're still in 1 Corinthians 10, 13. "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you." That word "suffer" means allow you, allow us. Brother Dowdell, look at this now. Even in a time of bereavement, Dowdells, God is still faithful. Those of you that are struggling with health challenges and struggles, if you will, Brother Bassey, I'm going to be personal tonight. God is still faithful. If you're struggling emotionally, whoever that could be out there under the sound of my voice or listen to this lesson, God is still faithful. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. I'm struggling financially. I'm struggling emotionally. Some of you out there that are single to the point of pain, like, I just want a man. No, you don't just want a man. Back to the glasses. No, I want God's man. Amen, single sisters. I want to find somebody that can help me make it to heaven, who loves the Lord more than I do. Equal to or greater than. Okay, I'll get you in there too. He has to love the Lord. Our single brothers out there, I want to find God's woman. Be desperate. God's not a desperate God. And so the Bible says, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to who will not suffer you, means allow you to be tempted above that ye are able. I hope we understand this. We can get through it. There's nothing that's going to happen to you that's unprecedented. It's not happening to someone else. It's common to man. It's quite normal. Maybe not normal to you, but somebody's experiencing that. And if we fellowship, we can talk to one another and say, I thought I was the only one feeling that way. The devil doesn't want us to fellowship. He wants us to keep everything secret. Everything secret. I'm not going to tell you my business. But we'll with the temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 for those who aren't with us. But we'll with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Look at God. That should give us confidence. Oh, there's no less desire, no less temptation, but God, we can get through it. There's four exit signs in this room. Find the exit sign and get out. I'm not saying get up right now. Such is life. And so in the text that was read in your hearing, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If any man loves the influence of Satan, if any man loves this environment, if you will, because this world in which we live is going to pass away. Look at this. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, don't love it. Lust of the eyes, don't love it. Pride of life, don't love it. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. People do all kinds of things, inclusive of politics. They will say or do anything to get power. Because power is infectious. Breaking news, people will lie to get power. People will lie on you to get money. So, and people will use their bodies as an instrument to get ahead. It's not just in the movies. It happens in real life. Amen, walls and light. Y'all like, that last one didn't get an amen. Not just in the movies. And so, brothers and sisters, John reminds us in verse 17, the world will pass away. The world passeth away. And the lust thereof. All the desires that are inherent in this world, it's not going to last forever. But he that doeth the will of God, here it is, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Very concise tonight. So you can't love the world and the Father. And again, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. So know who we are and whose we are. Some of the basic things I want you to understand tonight. So love God, and that will regulate us as we live in this world. Let me say that again. I want to be very practical. When we love God, it should regulate us, because I'm telling you, it's rapid fire. It's like drinking from a fire hydrant. Stuff's going to come at you. Brothers, images are going to come at you. You got to just, I got to look the other way. Amen, brothers. Leave me up here by myself. Sisters, I don't know what it is, that would get your attention, but if it's ungodly and if it's not taking you where you need to be, sisters, amen. Look the other way. You can't have it both ways. And the world's going constantly. Because again, to think about theology is inherent in psychology. When we recognize, we're talking about the mind. Every time the Bible mentions the heart, we're not talking about cardiology, the blood pump. We're talking about psychology, recognizing what is on your mind. What does the Bible say? Was it Psalm 23:7? Proverbs 23:7, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So, garbage in, garbage out. Get this garbage off your mind. Don't put garbage in front of you. We have to constantly guard against this. So you can't love God and the Father. And so, in other words, as Jesus said, turn over there in Matthew 6, verse 24. some very familiar passages, but you can't serve two masters. I mean, who are you going to make a decision? If we're going to serve God, do it the proper way. We encourage our brethren this morning. We're going to encourage the congregation. We want to encourage this congregation in Miami Gardens. We say it out loud. We're going to let everybody know. You know, with some chispa, we're not going to just back down. We're going to say it with confidence. Think about your work ethic with God. Think about your spiritual walk. And many have just gotten in this zone of just complacency and haphazard. If you do that on the job, you'd get fired. The way some Christians live their life, they would get fired on a regular job. Show up when you want to show up. Show up whatever time you want to show up. You don't do that on the job. This is part of the temptation. The flesh wants to be comfortable. I laid down at 4:30 to take a little nap. At 5 o'clock, the alarm went off. I wasn't happy. Oh, I can't wait to go see all of you. That's not what came to my mind. I was like, ugh, it's the flesh. But I got up. Amen. And I'm thankful to be here. Because there are those who would want to be here but cannot. There's all those who have passed on. So brothers and sisters, all we're saying to encourage you is recognize the psychology, how we think and how we behave. That's what the Bible is talking about in this lesson. No man can serve two masters. Matthew 6, verse 24, Jesus speaking, no man can serve two masters. You have to give your allegiance to someone. You can't have it both ways. I'm going to go ahead and do the best I can in this world, and, you know, I'll just kind of check in with God to make sure I'm compliant. No. No. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. Jesus is saying, you got to make a decision. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. So you're going to love one and hate the other. We should hate sin. But man, it feels good. Y'all didn't expect me to say that, did you? We wouldn't sin if it didn't feel good. Oh, ain't this? Oh, Brother Dowdell, only one that's honest. I didn't plan to do this. I'm trying to give you a nice, concise, basic lesson. Thank you, Brother Dowdell. Only one that's like, amen. Hebrew writer talks about Moses rather suffer with his people than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hebrews 11. Rather, the Faith Hall of Fame, if you will. Enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You don't go and say, well, let me go break my leg because that's going to feel good. No, sin, the lust of the flesh, the desire, what we desire in the flesh, what we desire in with our eyes, and what we feel with the pride of life. These are real human desires that can lead us to sin. When lust, desire hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. James chapter 2. I'm going to go back. I'm going to try this again now. Thank you, Brother Dowdell. No man can serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. We got to make a decision. I don't need to live that way. I don't want to live that way. We all came from somewhere. Matthew 6:24, latter part. Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. When you truly love something, you hold on to it. You take care of it. You nurture it. You don't feed the enemy. That's a mentality. Then it leads to a behavior. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and the world. Loving the world makes you an enemy of God. This is not ambiguous in any way. This is not gray. This is black or white. I'm not talking about colors or race or ethnicity. We're talking about this is as clear as day, as my grandmama would say. If you love God, then let's do better. Punctuality, engagement, kindness, hospitality. And when you get uncomfortable with someone else's success, check yourself and encourage your brother or sister. Keep on keeping on, brother. Keep on keeping on, sister. You are encouraging me. Your zeal is encouraging me to be better. Amen. But devilish behavior is envy, jealousy, all the things we talked about this morning in Galatians 5 when Paul itemized it. Said this is devilish behavior. And guess what, folks? Here it is. It's apparent in the Lord's church. Now you stay right there. People can be envious. Christians envious of other Christians. Did y'all know that? Jealous of other Christians. Hateful. Motivated by negative energy as opposed to growing in the Lord. And lip service won't do it. We got to guard against this, all of us. Paul had to deal with it. And so as we look at the Word of God, let's go to James chapter 4 and verse 4 very quickly. James 4 and 4. Say amen when you get there if you don't mind. That'll help me. That'll let me know that you are there. I guess I'll wait. James 4 and 4. When you get there, just help me. Let me know that you're there. I want to study together tonight. So as we think about not loving the world and what we need to do, we need to recognize we got to put there's got to be clear boundaries. I love God, therefore I have to hate sin. I love God, therefore I cannot condone any lifestyle. I love God, therefore I got to forgive. I love God, therefore I got to go the extra mile. I love God. What did Jesus say? You're going to be my disciple? You got to deny yourself. So when you're feeling all kind of crummy, when people are succeeding around you, it's like, I need to then look in the mirror and say, I need to grow. So I don't feel this way when others are being successful. When I look at other people, envy is real. Anybody here ever been envious? Thank y'all. No, I'm serious. We got to help. So that makes someone who's here that may be struggling with it recognize that I'm not alone. We all have to grow. James 4 and 4, the Bible says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. In other words, you are not faithful to the covenant that you made. Keyword covenant. Covenant is an agreement. When you, those of you that have credit cards, you got a covenant agreement with MasterCard, Visa, American Express. I agree to the terms of the agreement. I agree to abide by the terms of the agreement. That's a covenant. Two parties, and if you violate the covenant, there are consequences. Late fees and everything else, even to the point of litigation, if you don't pay. Because I'm extending credit to you that you have, based on your credit worthiness, I'm assuming you will take care of your bills. Why do I use that example? Because when you violate a covenant, you know, the Greek word, you talk about adultery. A marriage relationship is a covenant. And so James says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. He makes sure that from a gender standpoint, he gets to men and women. Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity. That word enmity, E-N-M-I-T-Y, is translated hostility. Friendship of the world is hostility with God. He said, don't you know that? See, God, I love God, therefore, I love God. There's no gray, either in or out. And this is going to challenge all of us to grow. Friendship of the world is enmity with God, or hostility by translation. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Whew. Now, just so we understand, the world, the environment where which we are, we're not talking about hating human beings. I got to say it again. People say we use the world so loosely. Worldliness is the influence of Satan. Satan does not want us. The domain in which we live, Satan's influence is everywhere. We see it. We live it every day. That's what we're talking about. And it's going to pass away. All the lusts and desires. A man who wants to be like Wilt Chamberlain, I'm going to sleep with all these women. Oh, that's going to pass away. And this foolish teaching we're talking about, you know, well, you know, again, there's people that teach false doctrine like, well, yeah, you know, heaven's going to be, you know, you can have any virgin you want. I mean, my God. And so I'm dating myself with this in illustration analogy, but if you don't see nothing wrong with a little bump and grind, you're going to have a problem with God. Y'all all right? Y'all didn't expect that on Sunday night, did you? I'll translate that in the back for those who need it translated. The world's going to have you to believe. The world's going to have you to believe that everything's okay as long as you say it's okay. No man can serve two masters. Friendship with the world, enemy of God. The Bible couldn't make it plainer. The love of the world makes you an enemy of God, but this world's going to pass away, the world and everything in it. 2 Peter 3:10, you know, take a look at it. Let's turn over there. 2 Peter 3:10, give you some exercise tonight. 2 Peter 3:10. The world is just, it's a challenging place. We can make it through, but I want to just encourage you. 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the witch, the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This world will pass away. And as we think about this world and everything in it, we are passing away. We're going to paraphrase 1 Peter 1 and verse 24. All flesh is as grass. We're going to wither away. So we, again, James 4, 13 and 14, we think about just our bodies. We think about who we are. And if you just go to 1 Peter 1, 24, I want you to see it. I want to keep the pattern of letting you follow along with me as I read. 1 Peter 1, we paraphrase it for a minute, verse 24. That's all we need. For all flesh is as grass, as was stated, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. We are passing away. So let's use our time wisely. Let's not take the today for granted. And as we get older, as we season, as we mature, as we develop, our behavior should be closer and closer to God, because our days are numbered. And for the younger folks that are here, who told you you're going to grow up to be old? Remember now thy creator when? In the days of thy youth. Ecclesiastes 12 and 1. So no matter where you are in life, if you understand what's being preached, let's seek to do better. Let's seek to do better. James chapter 4, as that's on your screen. James, the fourth chapter, verse 13 and 14. As we think about, we are passing away. James 4, 13 and 14. So again, take nothing for granted, as we said. Go to now. Ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go unto such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Here's my plan. On my way down here, I was looking at my calendar for tomorrow. My first meeting tomorrow is 11 a.m., if it be the Lord's will. You got everything planned out, and we fit God in. Talked to a young brother this morning. He just asked for some advice. He asked for some honest advice. How can you do the stuff that you do and still do this? I said, I go where I want to go. I said, well, see, the mistake we make as children of God is we put everything else up there and say, well, I got to fit. Wednesday night Bible said I got to fit everything else in. How about seek ye first kingdom of God? Amen. Start with that. And then teach your kids that. And then watch what happens. You got to change, because, again, self gets in the way. I've been there. But we are without excuse. When the boss says we got to be there, we are there. So, saints, I want to encourage you. So James is saying, you're going to say you're going to go to the city, you're going to buy and sell and get gain. James 4, 13, look at verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. If for some reason, if God allowed you to see, and he won't, that even if a doctor said you got 2 days to live, how would you live your life? Would you be at home tonight? Perspective. Context. If you knew your days were numbered, and our days are numbered, we just don't know how many days we have left. James says in James 4 and verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor. It is even a vapor, a mist. It's like the dew, the morning dew that appeareth for a little while and then vanishes away. That's our life. So the world's going to melt with a fervent heat, the earth that's going to be burnt up. Not some scary movie, that's the reality of God. God made a promise. Chantel showed me a picture. She was driving back from work yesterday in the evening, and it was raining real hard, and she showed me a picture of a rainbow. And the harder the rain, the brighter the rainbow. The token, the sign, the emblem from God that I will not destroy the earth with water ever again. So when people start running around saying, oh, it's going to flood and here we go again. A child of God should say, no worries. There's a rainbow in the cloud, a promise of God. But now it's going to be fire this next time. The earth is going to pass away. We are passing away. All flesh is as grass. So let us take advantage and full advantage of today. So as we wrap it up, those who do God's will shall abide forever. Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Come on. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. You know, as we think about the conclusion of the whole matter, as we seek to fear God and keep his commandments, it's going to call for us to do what we do when we exercise. If somebody is training you, see, a disciple is a student. If someone's teaching you in school, you got to push your student sometime. You can do it. Don't settle for a C. You're better than average. Let's go. Let's put the work in. And so in Matthew 7 and verse 21, brothers and sisters, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, Jesus says, shall enter the kingdom, into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So there is the kingdom of heaven, and those who do God's will shall last forever. for eternity. This flesh is going to wither away, but our soul will spend eternity with God. And even when we die, it can be a blessing. Revelation 14, 13, a scripture that we often refer to in the context of laying someone to rest. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Revelation 14, 13. Yea, saith the Spirit, from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. That's where we're going. But how we get there, and recognizing that this is, as we talk about, there's a term in business called a value proposition. I'm teaching my kids this, because they're all getting to the point. Lexi's next to get a job. Amen. That almost brings me to tears. I told Lexi that when she gets her first paycheck, she's taking me somewhere. I told her yesterday, I said, all the stuff I buy for you, I'm just going to buy it. I don't even need it. I'm going to, you'll take me to the store. We're going to go to a hair supply store. I'm just going to pick stuff. She looked at me. Value proposition. If someone's interviewing you for a job, you let them know, here's the value proposition of hiring me. If you're sitting out there looking for a job, use that statement. It's going to get somebody's attention. Here's the value proposition of bringing me on your staff. I will be an asset to this company. And so why do we say that? Because what does it profit us? So at the end of the day, what's the bottom line? What value do you bring? What will it profit us? Jesus asked the question. Let's get the answer. Matthew 16. Stay in the book of Matthew. Let's run over to chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew the 16th chapter. And we'll take a look at verse 26. Jesus asked a basic question. Come on up here, song leader. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. We're going to start at verse 24 and give it some context. Matthew 16. Everybody at verse 24? All right. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. We got to keep ourselves in check. If I ask Gail, my name is Gail, by the way. If I ask Gail, what do you want? It's like, well, we're going to agree on it. It's called selfish. By nature, we are selfish. Look at any little baby. They don't get what they want. What do? They cry. Then if you let them keep doing that, they're going to throw a temper tantrum. And if you go ahead and keep giving them everything they want without some boundaries, you say, no. Pets are the same way. I got my dog a little snap train right now. He gets mad. I'm like, get over there and sit down. Got to train him. Amen. Condition behavior. And we as adults, we don't get what we want. What do? Pretty much same thing. Tantrum, attitude. Cold shoulder. We got our ways of letting somebody know I'm not happy. But brothers and sisters, Jesus says, deny yourself. First of all, check yourself. Take up your cross. Accept the responsibility. And follow me. That was our encouragement to the brethren this morning. We're going to encourage the congregation the same way. You can get it a couple of times because you're getting it through this lesson. We're going to encourage every member of this congregation to do more. Look at yourself. Don't look at anybody else. It's so easy to look at somebody else's x-ray and say, yeah, that's out of place. This is broken. You need to do this. Just put yourself on that spiritual x-ray. Nobody else. How are you living your life? That's what you need to do. That's what this lesson, even next week. We're going to talk about covenant next week. I was going to bring it tonight, but I'm going to spare you with that. I'm going to bring that next week, Lord willing. Deny yourself. Be self-aware of our weaknesses, our lusts, our desires. Be aware of that. Don't give place to the devil. If you know you got a short fuse, then what are you going to do about that? Are you going to talk to somebody about your anger? So be aware. If you know that, you know, your weakness is, you know, if a brother, you got a weakness with women, then you may not want to go somewhere by yourself when it's just women. You're a single man and you're lonely and you're in heat and you're going to go to a topless beach. Maybe not. That's not the best idea. And you come here sweating. Y'all pray for me, bruh. Don't give place to the devil. Know yourself. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Now let me accept responsibility. I will not make those choices. I will get with some brothers, I will talk, I'll get with some sisters, I can. So that's, take up your cross, accept the responsibility.
I'm walking with Jesus. Not just Simon of Cyrene who was helping Jesus with the cross. We take up our own. It's a personal responsibility. And then we follow Jesus. It's going to cause all of us, every one of us, myself included, Rick included, all of the deacons, to do more. Be more faithful, all of us. Amen? Let's close. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. If it's all about what can I do to preserve and what can I do for just be self-serving, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, you seek to save your life, you shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Serving God, we're going to have to give up some things. We're going to have to regulate ourselves. And we're not saying Christianity is like, oh, this little poo-poo religion. No, that's why some people try to make it, oh, y'all got to do this, y'all got to do that. No, be human. You can be sociable, but we have to have some restraint, some self-discipline, maturity. Amen? And here it is, the value proposition. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world? Let's say you get everything you want, everything you desire. What does a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Jesus is saying, what did you gain ultimately for eternity? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Brothers and sisters and visiting friends, love not the world, neither the things in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but of the world. And the world will pass away. The world's going to pass away. And I pray tonight that something was said today to cause you to just want to do better. Do some self-analysis and recognize that what the Bible teaches us is right. Except you believe that I am he shall die in your sins, John 8:24. Jesus says you must repent of your sins. God, turn from our ways and turn to him. I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The same Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. Verse 33, whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Jesus ain't playing. You want to live your life in such a way where you act like you don't know me? Anyone ever done that to you? Like, hey, how you doing? Act like they don't know you, they didn't see you. Anyone ever done that? He said, you act like you don't know me. I will deny you before my Father. Christian means belonging to Christ. Act like you know me. Jesus is basically saying, put some respect on my name. Act like you know me. And ultimately, once you not only confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, putting the ultimate reverence, not just respect, reverence on his name, you're baptized. You're added to the body of the Church of Christ. Going to all the world and teach all nations, going to the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28 and Mark 16, respectively. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We that have been baptized. If you're here tonight, you haven't been baptized, you need to be. But once you're baptized, it'll be shared with the young lady who's visiting with us today. In English and Creole, she was told, I was baptized already. No, you were taught about Jesus, but you weren't taught about the church. And she recognized that, but she's hopefully soon we'll be baptizing her, I pray. But you got the Savior only in one place. Savior not in every church. God sent his Son. He died for one. Man created many. Many won't save you. The Savior in the church. So as we hasten on, as we live our lives, I pray that we don't yield to temptation. As we will close as we began, temptation is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted above that we are able. If you stand in need tonight in any way, please come right now as we together stand and as we together sing. Won't you come?